Hi, welcome to the third episode of the Land of Olives podcast. The Land of Olives is a podcast that delves into the issues of Palestine and Israel. In the Land of Olives, our aim is to delve into the complex realities of Palestine and Israel by examining the historical context through a scientific lens. We try to present these issues objectively, employing the language and methodologies of researchers in this field. While our intention is to maintain an unbiased narrative, we acknowledge that occasionally the perspective presented may inadvertently lean towards one side or another, either from the viewpoint of the audience or due to the researcher's own biases. In such instances, we entrust the discerning judgment to our informed audience. Alright, let's proceed to the third episode of The Land of Olives. In this episode, just like the first and second episodes, we have insights from Mr. Sultan Shahi. Of course, in the upcoming episodes, we'll continue to have Mr. Sultan Shahi with us. He is the author of the book Antisemitism, and in this episode, he will tell us more about the ideological reasons and more details related to this topic. Hello and welcome, Mr. Sultan Shahi, to the Land of Olives podcast. I'm all ears to hear more about antisemitism. In the name of God, hello everyone. In the first episode, I delved into the formation of this topic in my mind and how I became aware of it. Later, I explored the etymology, general aspects, and roots of antisemitism. And after categorizing the discussion, I explained the ideological and behavioral reasons, as well as the political reasons, along with economic motives. Now let's examine each of these reasons. One of the most significant arguments regarding the ideological basis of antisemitism is that it predominantly emerged in European societies primarily composed of Christians. Therefore, we can conclude that antisemitism has European origins and is primarily associated with Christianity. In other words, wherever Christianity exists, antisemitism also prevails. The first reason, as an ideological basis, traces back to the beliefs held by both sides, the beliefs that have fueled discord. Throughout history, Jews have maintained the conviction that they are the only people and tribe who adhere to monotheism, while accusing other nations of polytheism. For instance, Avraham suggests that Jews, over their long history, have repeatedly tasted the bitter flavor of persecution and the lack of compassion from the world, because they clung to their ancestral faith. In another context, Hannah Arendt attributes the roots of anti-Judaism rather than antisemitism to the monotheistic belief of Jews in contrast to polytheists throughout the ages. She argues that since the opposing nations lack the ability to confront or coexist harmoniously with the Jews, they oppose the followers of Judaism, thus giving rise to anti-Judaism. The Encyclopedia Britannica further asserts that deep-seated religious disputes have historically been the primary source of antisemitism. During the period of prevalence of Greek Jewish culture, for example, the social division between Jews and the refusal to accept the worship of God by the people, especially in the centuries before Christ, led to animosity among non-believers. In other words, this perspective implies that Jews were religiously devout, while their opponents were irreligious. Sigmund Freud, in another context, mentions that antisemitism has arisen by emphasizing and focusing on the beliefs of Jewish monotheists. It is emphasized again that these Jews were monotheists, and while those who were not Jewish or belonged to opposing ethnic groups, or even those who persecuted Jews, were polytheists. This principle or framework is the reason for the belief that appears in Christianity in a different way. That is, at this time when Jesus was sent to Palestine, the Jews opposed the Christians with the same idea. In general, they deny and negate both Jesus and the Christian religion. When Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, was sent by God to the mission, the Jews, despite their belief in the gradual evolution of religions and even the promise of a more complete religion, took the same stance as they did against the polytheists. In fact, Christians were viewed by Jews as a deviant religion from Judaism. This is stated by François de Font in his book Racism. And for this reason, not only did they not welcome the mission of Jesus, but they also conspired through various means to ensure the eventual demise of this new religion. In his renowned book titled A History of the World's Religions, John B. Noss introduces the relationship between Judaism and Christianity in an adversarial manner right from the beginning. And consequently, all efforts made to bridge the gap between them are evaluated without yielding positive results. Elsewhere, it is expressed that Jews deny the teachings of Prophet Jesus, which were based on love and forgiveness for all people worldwide, and establish eternal hatred among followers of two faiths. And for this reason, Jesus also reprimands the Jews and the priests in the Temple of Solomon and Al-Quds. These differences existed in the same manner from the very beginning. As Will Durant states, this way, the animosity of the Jews toward Jesus gets on a higher level, ultimately leading to the crucifixion of Jesus. In a sense, initially, the Jews considered themselves monotheists, but later they opposed the teachings of Jesus and then the Jesus himself. Subsequently, in their struggle against him, they even revealed the hiding place of Jesus to the Romans, resulting in his arrest. And during his arrest, they helped in the trial of Jesus by the Romans with the result they want. That is, in a way, they seek to condemn Jesus in this trial. This condemnation leads to a punishment which is ultimately the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Referring to the Torah and the conviction of Christ in a real rabbinical court, Israel Shahak confirms the crime of idolatry and inciting Jews to idolatry and blasphemy, and finally Jesus' crucifixion. In fact, all sources of classical Judaism that affirm about his execution take responsibility for the crucifixion of Jesus with pride and express their happiness. In other words, there is both opposition to Jesus and collaboration in his arrest and detention, as well as active participation in the trial session that ultimately led to his crucifixion by issuing a penalty for all verdicts in the form of crucifixion. If listeners pay attention, we can clearly observe such a story in the film The Passion of the Christ, directed by Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson, an American Catholic filmmaker, explicitly narrates the events leading to the crucifixion of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew, and this portrayal sparked a surge in anti-Semitic sentiments worldwide. In a way, Mel Gibson faced some attacks and even encountered attempts to ban this film in many countries, notably even the Iranian Crimean Association requested Iran's Ministry of Intelligence that the film not be screened in Iran. When many of the media outlets approached Jewish rabbis, Jewish historians or Jewish intellectuals and asked them about the reason for this opposition, none of the rabbis or Jews disagreed with the content of the film. They actually approved of its content. However, they mentioned that releasing or distributing this film under the current circumstances would increase anti-Semitism. Even at one point, many Jewish rabbis explicitly supported what the Roman governor Pilate had done and even endorsed his actions without declaring his innocence in any way. According to the Gospel of Matthew, Caiaphas, the high priest of the Jews during the trial of Jesus, addresses the Roman governor saying, "Have this man put to death. If there is any guilt in this, let it be on us and our children." Why does he say this? Because when the Roman governor confronts Jesus' record, he sees no reason for punishment and hesitates to carry out the Jews' request. Within this story, the issue of Judas Iscariot's betrayal. Within this story, the issue of Judas Iscariot betrayal is also raised. Judas Iscariot is one of Jesus' disciples who informed the Romans about Jesus' whereabouts in exchange for some coins. And since then, Judas' betrayal has entered the political vocabulary and literature as a very obvious and undesirable act of betrayal. Another term that emerges during this period is mentioned throughout history afterward is a wandering Jew. The wandering Jew is essentially a mythical figure who, during the crucifixion of Jesus, encounters him on the streets of Beit HaMikdash on the way to Golgotha and insults him. Jesus curses him to wander eternally until the day of resurrection. This myth has existed in history, and many believe they have seen such a character repeatedly, and some claim to have witnessed his presence. He has never left the world and instead wanders among nations and peoples until the resurrection or judgment day. So this is the most significant reason for Christians' opposition to Jews, namely in the crucifixion of Jesus orchestrated by the Jews. The second ideological reason we will discuss after the Christian perspective relates to the beliefs of Jews. Jews have a book called the Talmud. In this book, detailed discussions and rulings are made regarding the very low and worthless status and position of non-Jews. Various sources have referred to such beliefs and some, after examining the Talmud deeply, have concluded that Jews have a belief that non-Jews or Goyim or Gentiles are considered as animals. Initially, many non-Jews questioned this belief, including many Christian rulers in Europe who did not believe in such thing. However, with the presence of Jews and their confirmation of it, they became aware of this reality. Many people are not familiar with the sources and content of the Talmud, and Jews themselves do not provide the space or opportunity for non-Jews to become informed about the content of this book. However, it's essential to note that if there is a perception of inferiority towards the non-Jews and a belief that they are equal to animals, it stems from such a book. Some individuals, including Israel Shahak, who himself is Jewish, explicitly refer to such beliefs and numerous examples of laws related to non-Jews or terms used by Jews as Goyim or Gentile are extensively mentioned in pages 57 and beyond of the same anti-Semitic book. So with such acknowledgements, we can understand such a perspective from Jews towards non-Jews, which has historically been consistent and supportive of a theory known as the chosen people or the chosen race theory. In fact, Jews held the belief that God only has chosen them and created them as a superior race. They were considered the chosen people, and non-Jews are only in human form so that they can easily serve the Jews. This mindset, which is rooted in Jewish sources and texts, is one of the main ideological reasons for opposition to Jews. It's also why Jews are never interested in representing, retelling or republishing such beliefs for others. One of the implications of such thinking among Jews is that they consider themselves separate from others, even segregating their own lives from non-Jews. This mindset led to the formation of centers or neighborhoods called ghettos in European countries. This means that Jews live in neighborhoods called ghettos in order to easily have their own synagogues or places of worship, with their own school like a yeshiva, their own bathhouses like a mikveh, or easily bake their own bread or matzah, or easily perform their ritual slaughter or have a kosher butcher in their neighborhoods. These ghettos were not exclusive to Europe, but also existed in Iran. We can witness the existence of such ghettos in places like the Otlajan neighborhood in Tehran, the Jubara neighborhood in Isfahan, or the Jewish quarter in Mashhad. These neighborhoods were allocated to Jews with the same idea, the chosen people and separation from non-Jews. The last aspect of ideological reasons that I want to mention is a plot for the sacred bread matzah, which I briefly referred to in the introduction. It is also called blood libel. It means that the Jews never accept such an accusation and refer to it as a false accusation. However, in numerous sources of anti-Semitism, detailed references have been made to such events. This means that we have had anti-Semitic events throughout history that have taken shape for this very reason, that Jews attack a non-adult, non-Jewish boy during Passover or Pesach, placing him on the table, piercing his body with sharp objects, extracting his blood, which is then poured into the dough and referred to as the sacred bread or matzah. This can be seen in detail in the Jewish Encyclopedia Judaica, which contains interpretations and images about it. It means that Jewish resources also extensively discuss such a story, although they never confirm it. They only say it is an accusation against Jews. However, sometimes such a story coincides with events that make non-Jews aware of the accuracy of such a trial, of such a ritual. In recent years, the World Health Organization has assured Jews through a statement that is, it was willing to provide the same blood used by Jews during Passover or Pesach from its own blood bank, thus ensuring that Jews do not engage in the alleged killing of non-Jewish boys in Islamic or non-Islamic countries anymore. Such a story has occurred in detail throughout history in various societies. For instance, the chronology or timeline of anti-Semitism refers to the story in 158 paragraphs and highlights it as one of the most significant ideological reasons for anti-Semitism. Here it is necessary for Jews to bring their own reasons or to respond to such events recorded throughout history before denying such a ritual or belief. So we have covered several important topics in the discussion of ideological reasons for anti-Semitism, such as the relationship between Christianity and Judaism, and the beliefs they hold regarding each other and their prophets, Jewish teachings and beliefs, and the Talmud, a prominent aspect of which was the concept of the chosen people or chosen race or racial supremacy. The story of ghettos, which underscores the segregation and separation of Jewish communities. And the final aspect discussed in the ideological realm was blood for the sacred bread or matzah, known as blood libel. And these aspects provide a comprehensive understanding of the ideological roots of anti-Semitism, encompassing religious, cultural, and historical dimensions. You listen to the third episode of The Land of Olives. Your feedback is invaluable to us, so please share your thoughts, critics, and suggestions in the comments section. Remember, you can enjoy The Land of Olives podcast on all major podcast platforms.